Welcome everybody to the 10th of 12 episodes in the Discipleship series, and well done if you've got this far with us. We are on the home straight. Today the topic we're going to be talking about is the church, and we have labelled this "We Are Family," and you'll see why later in this video. Now, in the first week we showed you the triangle, and the points on the triangle could be used to represent God the Father, the Up, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three make up the Trinity, which can sometimes be hard to understand. But the triangle we have here represents one God. If you like, three streams of consciousness, almost like three brains that all think individually, but also think in sync with each other. They do not need to disagree with each other, but they think together and complement each other's thoughts. They work in sync. Now, there is another way that we can look at this triangle. This all comes down to relationship. We could look at our lives as being in relationship with God, the Up, relationship with other Christians, the In, and relationship with non-Christians, the Out. All these are areas are vitally important. And when we are in good relationship with all these areas, we become quite well-balanced people. Today we're going to be focusing mainly on our relationship with other Christians, the In. It is Christians that make up the church. However, before we look at this, there are two things that we need to know. The first and the most important thing is this, that everything stems from our relationship with God. We've talked about praying and reading our Bibles, which are both tools to help us in our relationship with God. But as we get to know God better, he teaches us and gives us a love in our hearts for other people. In Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, it says this, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Somebody asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus replies this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these just two commandments." So all the laws and commandments we read about in the Bible rest on these two commandments. Jesus gives us this instruction because by loving God, you want to be obedient to him, and he develops our love for others, which is the second greatest commandment, as we develop a love for him. The second thing is this, that the church is called to have relationship with people who are both Christians and also non-Christians. And it's the job of the church and us as individuals to share what we know with other people. But Rachel will be covering this next week in our next session titled "Your Mission Is." So today, let's look at the church and figure out what the church is and what is it there for. If you were to ask random people in the street what a church is, a lot of people would say it is the old building with the big spire or has a cross on the top of it. But there is more to a church than just its building. Imagine for a second that you travel to a remote part of the country where there stands the most beautiful church building you have ever seen. The stone masonry is so intricate and the stained glass windows are so beautiful, they tell incredible stories. But the building is empty. No one ever comes or goes to the building, and after years of neglect, the building now becomes tatty because no one is looking after it. You could say the church is lifeless. It has got no purpose or reason for its existence. In years to come, it will just become a ruin or an eyesore. It has no future. Church buildings have been built not just to look good. They are there to shelter people, to serve the community, to allow for a family of Christians to come together and worship God under one roof. It is the people that gather that make up the church, that give the church its life and give it its purpose. The building is just a tool that helps the church. Just like reading the Bible and praying is a tool that helps us in our relationship with God, the church building is just the tool to help serve the church. The church is full of people like you and I, all with a mix of talents, abilities, and skills, regardless of age, race, or ethnicity. And this is a place where people can meet, worship, listen to God's word, seek communion, and pray. When people walk in the door, they feel restored, they feel refreshed, they feel regenerated, and they're not judged, but loved and accepted, and they're welcomed home. The church is not the building, it's a family of people. The building is there to serve the people, it is the tool to help the church function, but the church can still function without the building. The beautiful thing about the church is that there is nothing quite like it. I love working in church with people I get to know, people that outside of church I might not normally mix with or even naturally associate myself with. But church gives a common purpose and a passion, and with that comes acceptance and a level of satisfaction. So, more specifically, what is the purpose of the church? First and foremost, God created mankind for relationship with him. When he created us, he also created us for relationship with each other. And so church is a great way that we can not only worship God individually, but also collectively, all together. The second reason I believe is this. There are a lot of people that do not have relationship with God, or people that are just new to their relationship with Jesus. They don't know how good it is to know Jesus and the freedom that comes with that. They don't necessarily have the habits, the healthy habits that we have that we talked about before. On top of that, they do not know what it means to have eternal life, that when we die, we have a promise that we will be in heaven. If we have it so good with Jesus, why would we not want to share that with other people? In Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20, there is this story which is called the Great Commission. And it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." This was after Jesus had died on the cross and risen again, and he visits them on the mountaintop. "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" We spoke about baptism last week. "And teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus gives us clear direction that we are all called to go and make disciples, to share Jesus with other people so that they may benefit from relationship with God as well. Next week, Rachel will be talking more about our mission to share the gospel to those that don't know Jesus. So why am I bringing these verses with you now? I believe our mission is twofold. We are called to reach people who do not know Jesus, but also to nurture, show and teach people who are younger Christians than us and show them how to live a life with Jesus. Just as we have been talking about some of those healthy habits for us to have, we can show people how to take up those healthy habits. Church is full of people who are young, middle-aged and old, full of people who are new to Christianity and some who have been Christians for a while. One of the functions of the church is also to help people grow in their faith with God. In Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, the scripture that we just read was just after Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. 3 years of eating food together. They would have gone fishing. They would have been praying together and performing miracles. Jesus did not just teach people how to live with his words, he showed them how to live with his actions. And we have said this a lot. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he was not prepared to do himself. Jesus showed us how we can live as Christians. The important thing is this, that as a church, we do life together. Just as Jesus ate with people, we can eat food together. We can spend time and enjoy each other's company. And it's just like a family. We have a picture of a family here. Now, I want you to imagine the perfect family. I know for some of us that is hard to imagine. But two parents, they raise their children up. They teach them everything they need to know to prepare them for when they become adults one day. They teach them how to read, write, and how to cook, how to manage their money. They take them on holiday and they spend time together playing board games. Who benefits the most? Well, the children benefit greatly. They get given the tools to navigate life and learn how to interact with others appropriately. They feel love and acceptance. But for the parents, they also learn. They do not just teach their children. As they teach, they are reaffirming in their own life what is true and what is not true. They question themselves a lot. Am I being the best parent I can be? Am I teaching the correct things? Have I got my facts right? They are fine-tuning their own skills and their own talents, and the challenge is keeping them sharp. They are becoming wiser every single day. And this is the same within the church. We are all called to have relationship with each other. Just like in a family setting, here we all benefit from it if we do family well. We are a family. We're a group of disciples that pass on our skills and knowledge to other disciples, and those disciples do the same for others. Imagine the church as a body. Each member is a different body part. For the body to work healthily, each body part has its unique function, and each body part relies on other body parts to function well. There is not one body part that is not important. Together, we are all better. We can read this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 19. And it says this, just as the body, though, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. So we're told we're part of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but it is made up of many. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. It is still connected to the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it's still connected to the body. It would for not that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? We're not just one body part. We are the body together. So if you're feeling like you're not wanted or needed today, take this away from the truth from God. Everyone has a unique function in the body of Christ. We have a unique function in the church, and we are all relying on each other to be a healthy body. You are important to this church, and you are important to the kingdom of God. There is no pressure at all, but if we want to be a healthy church, it works best if we all contribute our part. Whether it seems like a big function or a small function, all functions are equally important in us being a healthy body. I want to end by asking you a question. Where is your place in the church? Where do you fit in? Hopefully you are already loved and accepted by the church. But where is God calling you to serve others? To follow the greatest commandment, to love God first and then to love your neighbour? The other week we talked about servanthood, but servanthood doesn't have to be a burden, not like a chore that your parent gives you at home. Contributing our part to the church doesn't have to seem like hard work. We do it because we love God. Remember, the greatest commandment is to love God. So if we love God, we want to be obedient and we want to do things his way. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, it says this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So as we love God, we love the church and we start to love other people. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. People are who are disciples. These are people that are Christians. That's you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, are the ones that overcome the world. And it's important that we show that to other people. We show that by the way that we talk and the example that we lead and the habits that we get ourselves into and the way that we contribute to our community and contribute to our church. Not just in what we say, but in the actions we do, just like Jesus did with his disciples. So, where is God challenging you about your place in the body of Christ? Some of you may be new Christians, are just exploring the church, and that's fine. We learn by doing things and trying things out. For some of us, we may have lost our interest in church. If that is you today, I would ask that you spend time with God and ask him to give you a new vision for church, to reignite your passion and maybe restore you if you have been hurt by others. You may have been serving in church for a while and find it tiresome. Ask God to refresh you and give you a clear picture of where you should be spending your time. So everybody, welcome. Welcome to the family. Together we are a family, and we are a family of the church. We are a family of the body of Christ. Enjoy church, come and see church and visit it and enjoy it in all its fullness. As you fall in love with God, may you fall in love with the church through Jesus Christ. And I'll see you soon. Bye.